Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now. I'm your host, Jordan Rabold. No guests, no co-host, just me, nobody else. You know what it is. This is what it is every single week. Right now, I flew to Dallas, Texas. I'm here at my brother's home for Thanksgiving. Sometimes people say that they like Thanksgiving more than Christmas. It's like, how can you like Thanksgiving more than Christmas? Because Christmas is like Thanksgiving plus gifts. Isn't it? Isn't that what Christmas is? It's the same thing. You eat the same foods pretty much. It's actually, I would say that Christmas is even better because you don't feel like you have to eat turkey. And turkey is such an impossible meat to cook well. Because this stupid bird's like 40 pounds. You can't cook it all the way through. Those things are so hard to cook properly. They're always so dry. Anytime you eat turkey, unless you get the dark meat, it's so dry. It is so dry. It's not good. You don't feel like you have to do that on Christmas. How can anyone think that Thanksgiving is better than Christmas? You're out of your mind. You are out of your mind. Now, is Thanksgiving better than Hanukkah? Yeah. I guess Hanukkah blows. I'm not Jewish, but my friends, here's how you know Hanukkah blows, is because a lot of Jews still celebrate Christmas too. Boom, checkmate. Because if Hanukkah was so fun, they would only celebrate Hanukkah. They wouldn't do Christmas. I know a lot of Jews do that. When I heard that it was like 8 days of presents, I was so jealous when I was a little kid. And then now that I'm older, I realize, oh, it's like 8 days of like crappy presents, depending on how, you know, rich your family is. But I know a lot of kids would just get like school supplies on one day. All 8 days would just be school supplies. They wouldn't get, it's not like, I thought it was like 8 days of Christmas. I didn't know it was just like a small gift for 8 days. But now it's out of hand. Even Christmas, I mean, they're both, these holidays are getting so out of hand. All of the industry around every single one of these holidays is huge. It is so huge. The amount of money people spend, like, I think I read like they spend like a good portion of their yearly paycheck at Christmas. It's insane. I guess it's the one time everyone buys shit, though. It's the one time. It's not even remotely about Jesus anymore. Going to Mass on Christmas? Ugh. You always have to go, too. You have to go to Mass because you're there with your family. You're there with your parents. They're going to make you go. Man. That's one of the best parts about growing up is not having to go to church anymore. Nobody's making you go. I remember just sitting there and being so bored. It is so boring. If anyone isn't Catholic and you're listening right now, oh my God, you dodged a bullet because Mass is so freaking awful. Just the standing and the kneeling and the clothing you're wearing. And as far as being a show, it's like a one-star show. It really is. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 1. It's so boring. The music is sad front to back. You're looking at Jesus on a cross. You're just staring at like a grotesque scene the whole time. But you're inundated with it, so you don't even realize how morbid it really is. You're looking at a guy hanging. Ugh. For an hour. Clothes. You gotta wear a stupid shirt and tie even though you're 9. And that's the nice part of being 9 is you never have to wear those clothes except to church because they, quote, look nice. They're so uncomfortable. You had to get up. Like, you're already going to school every day early in the morning. You don't even want to go to school, but you're going every day. And the weekend's supposed to be time to relax. But no, your parents have to grab you and pull you out of bed because they want to feel like they're doing a good job as parents. They're not enjoying it. My dad would never admit that he was hating Mass, but dude, my dad doesn't go to Mass except on those holidays. My mom and dad act like they're always going to church. They don't go. they don't go. And of course, no, it's terrible. It's such a bad time. Because priests are horrific public speakers. If salvation wasn't included in church, like if you didn't think that you had to go to church to get to heaven, you wouldn't go. Nobody goes. I saw this, though. The Vatican has released its own Pokemon Go app that lets you chase Jesus, and it's, yes, as insane as it sounds. It is truly crazy. It's like one of those, like, it's a legacy brand trying to stay hip and relevant with young people. And so here's how the game works. I'm going to read this really quick. But it's a game called Follow JC Go, and it's based on Pokemon Go, which y'all remember in 2016 people went crazy for. I get it if you like playing those video games, but I personally did not get into it at all because nothing sounded lamer than trying to catch fake animals on my phone and walking around New York City to do that. I guess it's a good thing because people are outside and they're interacting with others, but also it just like sounded so corny. People really got into it. Maybe I'm just too much of a curmudgeon to ever get into anything, but I just never could even get into that at all. So instead of chasing after Pikachu and Squirtle, the Vatican inversion involves collecting saints and other biblical figures by answering philosophical questions about them. One hypothetical query on the app's website is, who said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Hint, Jesus. So once players catch them all, using geolocation, their spiritual squad becomes an evangelization team that follows Jesus together. Players have to keep track of their avatar's nutrition, hydration, and prayer count by collecting special objects, saying prayers for the sick in hospitals, and going into a church whenever they pass one. Whoa! You got to go into the church whenever you pass one? No thanks. So apparently this game cost $500,000 to make and took 2 years and 32,000 hours to develop. Imagine being those game developers. Because there's not a game developer in the world who wanted to work on that. That's how you know money can get you to do anything. Is because there's not a... These game... Every person that plays video games wants to, like... They see their video games as art. They see video games as art. And they remember all the games they grew up on, whether it's Super Mario, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis. I can only think of Mario games. No, but Halo, all the shoot, Duke Nukem, all those types of games. Those are the games that every video game maker wants to make. But here is clearly a craven attempt by some developers just to be like, I kind of want to work in this industry, but also I need to get a paycheck. Boom, I'm making Go Jesus Go or whatever the game is called. The game's only active in Italy and Spain, unfortunately, everybody, so you can't play it anywhere else. And I guess Pope Francis is a fan of the game. Oh, man. I can't believe that this exists. I can't believe it. Almost 20% of the people who leave the Catholic Church are under the age of 25, and issues such as the ongoing abuse scandal have deterred them from coming back. I love that. That's so funny to me that the Catholic Church has that massive, massive child molestation, abuse scandal going on. And what is the response they have? A game for children to lure them back into the church with Jesus Pokemon. Yeah, that's how you address an issue. That's how you do it. You don't take it head on. You don't put out a full-scale apology and revoke the collars of every single priest who helped cover up the scandal and was involved in it. No, that's not what you do. What do? You develop a video game. You develop a fun video game. It's like Pokemon Go. How is that their response? Seriously. Are you kidding me? This game's got to be so terrible too. Because there's something fun about Pokemon. There's nothing about finding Jesus. Nothing fun about that. This really isn't... really is crazy. Oh my God. So get this. Apparently there's a Russian YouTuber. Apparently a Russian YouTuber. His name is Ruslan Sokolovsky. Sentenced to 3 years probation because he filmed himself playing Pokemon Go in a historic chapel. Yikes. 3 years for that. Now they're creating their own game. While live streaming a stunt Sokolovsky actually expressed regret that he didn't catch the rarest Pokemon of all, Jesus. I love when like these old institutions try to modernize and that's their effort. The truth is that it's just not appealing. That's it. It's a really bad show. It's a really bad show. Church is a really bad show. Mass is a really bad show. And you know how I know it's a bad show? Because Mass isn't live streamed on Netflix. That's how I know it's a bad show. If it was a good show, it would be on Netflix. Or at least Hulu. Right? If church was worth going to, it would at least be on Hulu. But that's how you know it's bad. It's because it's not on either of those things. Ever. The only reason people go is because they think it makes them feel better. Or they think they should do it. But you're not really getting anything out of it, man. You're not. I remember when I was young, this is really embarrassing for me to admit, but a part of me thought that there was something appealing about being a priest. And the thing I wanted to do as a priest is I liked the idea that they had this homily where they got to say whatever they wanted with a message and everyone in the church had to listen. And I thought it'd be so cool to give a homily. Little did I know that you don't need to go be a priest to do the homilies. You could just go do stand-up comedy and start a podcast, and you could just have your own homily. And if you can just trick people into showing up, then they'll do it. They will do it. But Jesus and Pokemon Go, God, I wonder if it's going to spread to everywhere now. $500K to develop, it's not that much for the Vatican to spend. Might as well. And I guess the Pope has a Twitter feed where I guess he's always railing against fake news. I do like how, like, this Pope is, like, he's more progressive than previous popes, but also what is interesting is that at the same time, he's still Catholic, so he still isn't fully there. Like, he isn't all the way modernized with the morals of today. He's still behind on a lot of those issues. The problem with the one before Pope Francis, Pope Ratzinger, is he looked so horrible. That's it. That was his, like, I don't even know anything about his really beliefs or what he was like as a pope. All I knew is that he looked like Emperor Palpatine. And you just can't have that be the face of your church. You really can't. Like the Pope John Paul II before Ratzinger, he looked like your sweet grandpa. So from sweet grandpa to Emperor Palpatine, back to a sweet grandpa. You got to go with the sweet grandpa. That's really it. Man, going to the Vatican is crazy. You really do see how much money they had. It really, one thing, we got to start taxing these churches though. I don't know why we're letting them get off scot-free. Like, walk around New York City, some churches have premium real estate. And they're huge. And you're like, how are they affording this? And you're like, because they don't pay taxes. Imagine if you paid no taxes. Right? You could afford a mansion too. God, I used to always get in trouble at church whenever I was there. When I was little. Oh my God. I couldn't sit still for that hour and listen to someone talk at me. Oh, songs. Catholic school. Oh my God. We would have mass. And you would have to sing the songs. Like, if you didn't sing and participate, then you would get in trouble. That's how my school worked. Anyway, is that if you didn't sing the songs, these dreary, sad songs, then you would lose your recess. And then this is what's even worse. Not only were you expected to sing during it, then we would always have music practice after church. So on every single Thursday, we would have church. And then after that boring hour, I would always lose my recess on Thursdays. I never got a Thursday recess in all of my time going to Nativity Parish School in Leawood, Kansas. I never got any recesses on Thursdays. I was always on the curb because they want you to sit for an hour. But after church, they would then have music practice for another 30 to 45 minutes where we would go over the songs again that we sang during Mass. Shoot me in the fucking face. And we get chastised for not singing with enough enthusiasm. Look. Have better songs. Right? You want me to sing? Compel me to sing. Don't get me to sing through obligation. Get me to sing because I want to sing. You know what I mean? You turn on a Katy Perry song, I have no problem singing Hot and Cold. No problem singing that. Any Lady Gaga song, no problem singing that. You turn on some Blink 182, I'll sing it with you. Why? Because the songs are good. But these Catholic church songs, every day's a funeral. What a bad... God, our teacher was Mrs. Barker Fisher, and she would always, always yell at us for not singing enough. We just didn't have enough enthusiasm. Who could? And of course, she probably loved that after church music practice when we would all sing. Oh my God, that was her spotlight. Because we would always, I don't know what it's called, where it's like you have one part of the audience sing, and then a second part of the audience sing, and then a third part of the audience sing. I can't remember what it's called, but we would do that, and she would love it. She would. I guess it's her time to shine, though. That and the Christmas recital. That's one thing, if I ever have kids, I'm not looking forward to, is those sort of obligation events that you have to go to. You have to go to them or else your kid will resent you and bring it up in arguments as to why you don't love him or her. They'll be like, well, you never go to my Christmas recitals. And it's like, because they're bad. They're not entertaining unless you enjoy bad theater. That's actually what you want, is you want a show that's so bad it's entertaining. But you don't want a show that's just like kind of bad that it's bad. But you want it to be so bad it's entertaining. I was told at my Christmas recitals not to sing. The music teacher, Mrs. Barker Fisher, she told me to lip sync the words "don't sing" because I was such a bad singer. I probably was just so obnoxious and didn't take it seriously. Golly, Catholic school. Do not send your kid there. Or do. I think they're fine. But what a waste of time, you know? That 30 minutes to an hour of music practice after church. Church itself, already a big fucking waste of time. I read this online. I don't know if it's true, but apparently recess, the only reason it exists is because you're federally mandated to give teachers breaks. So the recess wasn't for us. It was for teachers. Wow. That's... fact I did not see coming at all. I was always on the curb, though. Strange. It's an annoying punishment. I don't know if you guys all had to sit on the curb every time. I was always in trouble. I always got good grades. That's the only reason I don't think I got diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, is because I got good grades. But I guarantee you, if I didn't have good grades, they would have, without a shadow of a doubt, been like, this kid has ADD. But it's hard, because I was getting A's in grade school. Like, that's an accomplishment. But I would get A's in grade school and get my work done pretty fast. So they didn't treat me like ADD. I do think they overdiagnosed with ADD. They absolutely overdiagnosed the ADD stuff. A lot of these kids are just not very bright, and so they think they have ADD. And it's like, no, you just, mom and dad, you got to accept the fact that you're not that smart. Why would you think that you would give birth to a smart kid? It's genetics, baby. You're both dumb. Your kid's going to be dumb. Occasionally, there's an anomaly, and you give birth to a really smart kid. But generally speaking, whatever mom and dad are like, Jim or Cindy will also be like that. Your kids are going to be like the parents. None of us are special. We all repeat the same mistakes, and we all go through the same cycles. Yeah, ADD, though. Overdiagnosed. What is it? What is ADD? Attention deficit disorder? You know when you never have ADD? When you're enjoying stuff. That's when you know ADD is real. If someone can't focus on a thing they enjoy. But they're always diagnosing this ADD during, like, school. Yo, this shit fucking blows. It's horrible. The teachers aren't compelling. A lot of the subjects they give you aren't interesting. It's not fair to diagnose a kid with ADD in those circumstances. Seriously? You can't diagnose a kid with ADD when it's boring as shit. I guarantee you, you show these kids Paw Patrol, they can focus on Paw Patrol. Come on. Call it what it is. Really boring topics. This is what it is. I actually like, I liked a lot of school, but all I'm saying is there are some days where the teacher's just mailing it in. This is really mean to say, but teachers are not the brightest people on earth. They really aren't. There's exceptions to this. I've had some good teachers in my life, but by and large, a lot of these teachers are just women who are married to husbands, and this is kind of the only job they could get. Ooh, that's going to be extremely unpopular, but that's what it is. Teachers are, there's some really smart ones. There are some really smart ones. But most of them, not good. They're not the brightest people. Here's an observation I got on teachers. Why is it that all the kids in grade school who couldn't handle the math and reading concepts now are the teachers? All those kids grew up to be teachers. All the dumbest kids from my grade school now are teachers. It's because the financial incentives aren't there. That's when teachers are asking for more pay. It's like, first off, yeah, absolutely. Teachers should probably be paid more. Not probably. They should be paid more. They absolutely should be paid more. But all of that means that all of you people who are teachers right now, you're about to get priced out of the market. You will. If you're going to give $100,000 for someone to teach kids, you're going to see a lot more talent go that direction. I mean, if you made more money doing that than you did working in a corporate job, oh my God, 100%. The talent would flood to the teachers' programs. That's why there's so many doctors. It's not because it's a fun job. It's because it's a respected job that pays well. Granted, getting there is expensive as shit and hard as fuck. So hard. Seeing what my sisters have had to go through to become doctors. But so much becoming doctors is an ego thing. People aren't being a teacher because there's no ego in that. No one thinks you're cool if you're a teacher. So we've got to make it cooler. We've got to price out all these dumbass bitches that are teaching. Do you ever feel like there was a bias against a lot of the boys in your grade school? I remember having those feelings when I was a kid. Always feeling like the teachers like loved the little girls but didn't really like any of the boys. That's why now you're seeing so many. It was all women. It was all women. I think I had like three grade school teachers that were men. It's a very female environment teaching us. That's why I went to an all-male high school, and that I think was fantastic because you cut out women. It's like way less distracting. You're not trying to impress any girls in the classroom, so you're more focused on the schoolwork and learning because you don't have boobs directly in front of you. And I grew up at a time when you didn't really have cell phones were just starting to be a regular thing, but the most you could do is text, and you couldn't even text all the time because texting was like 10 cents a text unless you have some special plan. We'd have like 150 texts you could send a month. So you'd try to keep track how many texts you were sending. Otherwise, your dad would get like a $20 text bill and yell at you. Beyond grade school, it felt like there was all these female teachers. They don't. Here's why. A lot of people don't like single-sex education. And I know the criticism of it, as said by like one of these Yale admissions counselor friends of mine. She told me they don't like single-sex because that's not the way the real world works. And it's like, man, what a shame. You know what I mean? Why can't we treat the world like it's cooties and have the boys on the left and the girls on the right? Let's keep them separate, bro. Separate but equal. Opinion I do not believe. But it was great. It's way better. It's way better, especially during those, you know what? Especially during those high school years, those puberty years, you shouldn't even be around girls. And girls shouldn't be around boys. It's not good. They should be completely separated until the age of 18 when they go to college. Because you're a fucking mess. You're disgusting. Everyone's grossed out by your body. I remember just having really hard nipples during high school. My nipples were fucking so hard, and they hurt if anything touched them. Shouldn't have that around girls, you know what I mean? Going through puberty, you don't want girls to see you when you're going through puberty. You want it just, they'll catch you at the end. That's what you want. They'll catch you at the end. And vice versa. But in grade school, yeah, it felt like there was a lot of, I do think this is a serious issue, though, is that there's way less male teachers than female teachers, and that's because teaching is more of a, quote, female job. At least that's where society is structured right now. But it gives none of the boys have anyone to look up to. And I also don't think the women know how to handle little boys' energy as well. They don't know how to handle this, like, you know, that over way too much energy. Seems like every boy has too much energy. Maybe it's not too much energy and the situation isn't good for them. I remember just having so many stupid teachers. It's a weird thought to be in sixth grade and be like, I feel like I might be as smart as some of them. I remember having that thought. I don't know if you guys ever did, but just being like, I think I'm as smart as a lot of these grown-ups. The only difference is that they're like 45. That's the difference between me and them. We had this one teacher, Mrs. Spielbush. Oh my God. She was definitely an alcoholic. She definitely put out too. She would always show up to work and it felt like she had been boozing. She never did anything weird with any of the students. That's when they were in my grade school. We didn't have any of those weird child molesty moments ever. But that teacher in particular, it... Now that I'm a grown-up, I for sure can see all the signs of it. She definitely had something going on. 100%. She was one of those girls that was like hooking up with a lot of dudes and was drinking a lot, but she was like in her like mid-20s, so she had that mid-20s energy where you could just get plastered and it didn't, you just kind of had a headache the next day, but otherwise you were fine. God, I remember. That's why I quit drinking. I really quit drinking because the hangovers were getting way too bad. I couldn't even function the next day. I couldn't think straight. And unfortunately for me, being a stand-up comedian, I don't get paid unless the work is there. Unless I do the work, nobody's asking me to do the work. I don't know what it is. This past week, I had a series of insane comedy show occurrences. I went to Philly, and the venue completely fucked us. They double booked the room with that strip show again. And this time they gave them the actual performance room. And by the way, the venue's not even good. There's already so much sound bleeding in anyway. So it's like the quality of the show is just not there. I don't know if you guys care about this, but that's like the next steps. I need to make sure I'm performing in quality venues, especially on these road shows. And a lot of the like breweries are good because there's no alternative entertainment there or any like massive sounds coming in. Breweries have been pretty good. A lot of most of the bars that I continue to work with are quality because there'll be a separate room from everything. But this Philly room, man, this is the worst treatment. Here's the worst treatment I've ever gotten at a venue, especially because of the amount of money I've made them. It's insane. Really frustrating. But they double booked the room with the male strip show. And they gave them the room. Then they were like, well, you guys go to the basement. They didn't have any chairs set up for us. And they were like, you can have like 12 chairs. Yo, motherfucker, I sold 46 tickets. I told you that days ago that I sold that many tickets. Why is this a shock to you? Can we please, please have more chairs? Thankfully, they give us all these stupid booths. You don't know this, but like comedy, for comedy to work, everything in the room has to be like perfect. For it to really work, it's that, like all the focus can only be on the person speaking. I don't know why, you know what? And I'm saying right now, everything has to be perfect. You know what? Even for other performances, it has to be the way. Not music. It feels like with music, you can have other things going on. For a music show to be special, you have to have everything, all the other distractions cut out, though. But say for Broadway play, it's the same thing. They cut out everything else except the fucking performance in front of you. I don't know why I'm acting like that's like a crazy ask for stand-up comedy. But so the room put us in, it's in the basement. They don't give us enough chairs. I had to turn away people. Then they play, they have a band on the floor above us just blasting into the room. And then on top of that, the sound system didn't even work. So now we're doing an a cappella show for 46 people in a room that holds like 15 with music from some fucking 45-year-old cover band there. Dude, give it up. You're 45. It's not happening for you. Don't sell merch. Don't sell CDs. You're a cover band. Stop. It's sad. It's over. You didn't make it. It's okay. You can keep playing the guitar, but not in public. Horrible. Also had to show it. Whatever. Whatever, that's horrible. This is my past week of comedy. The Friday show was fine. It was solid. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible, but it was fine. And then we did this show, or I had a show at this comedy club in Times Square. I'm not going to name names, but I was up, and it was a show. It was when we had a snowstorm in New York City, so there was like not very many people were out at that time, and at the club, there was only 14 audience members, especially for this comedy club. That's like a really small audience for them. And the room holds like, I think like 120 or so. So it's a pretty big room, but the 12 people there, they're all really cool. And the first, you know, I was like number 5 in the lineup, I think. The first 4 comedians, none of them did any of their jokes. Because when there's that small of an audience, it's like hard to just be like a performer on stage. It's hard to like be like, yeah, so I was in the supermarket. Everybody knows about supermarkets. And then you do your bit about supermarkets. It's difficult to like monologue when there's only 12 people in the room because it's like they're like, does this guy know? You know what it is? It makes you feel disconnected from them. And comedy is about connecting with people. If you can connect with people, then you can do great. So everyone's doing like a lot of crowd work. That's how the whole show's gone. It's been an hour long. It's been all crowd work. This couple walks in. They're like probably late 40s is early 50s is how I look at them. And they walk in for the comic before me and they see like 1 minute of his set. And then I'm up next. I get brought up. Every comic has done crowd work up to this point. So especially in that situation on a show, when all anyone else has done on a showcase style show like that has done crowd work, you definitely can't go up and just start firing bits. Because you're going to look like a schmuck. So I'm doing what everyone else did, crowd work. And I noticed that this couple that just got in, they're seated very far apart. They are at separate tables completely. And I ask them, like, yo, what's up? Why are you guys okay? Why are you seated so separately? They have really bad body language, too, toward each other. And the woman answers it by saying, "Oh, we're in a fight." I was like, "Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. What about?" And she goes, "Well, he called me a goat face and then ditched me and went to the strip club where I found him." I start laughing hysterically because I'm like, damn. Wow. So you guys got in a fight and that was your solution, bro? That's the worst solution I've ever heard. No fight with your girlfriend or wife has ever been solved by you going to the strip club and calling her a goat face. So based off what she said, it's clear that this guy is in the wrong. I don't know the full scope of the story, and I'm not really fully interested in catching what prompted all this, but I then go, dude, you called her a goat face? I gotta be honest with you, man. You're a lot fucking uglier than she is. He did. And if you notice that about like men around that age, is they always look worse than their wives. Always. These guys do not take care of themselves. Some, of course some do, but like 90% of guys that age look like shit compared to their wives. They don't take care of themselves at all. Everyone else is laughing at this. This is pretty lighthearted to me, and they dropped a bomb on me. And anyway, I do a little more crowd work with them, kind of make lightly, pretty, that's pretty light making fun of, I'd say. I'm not going in on him and calling him like a total idiot or anything. I guess calling him like saying he's uglier than her, that's pretty mean. But come on, that's a joke. And also, it's a compliment. You are married to her. That's a compliment for you. In a weird way to say like, yo, look what you pulled. Look what you look like and look what you pulled. You know what I mean? Compliment. Anyway, it gets like even more. Oh, at some point she goes like, yeah, well, just to be honest, this relationship is over. I mean, we go back to California, so we have the next 2 days together and then the plane flight and then it's over. And I'm like, wow. I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. I've never witnessed a live divorce at a comedy show before. And everyone else is kind of laughing because it's like super tense and weird in the room because she's airing out their dirty laundry with every question I ask. It's funny. But I, at this point, I'm like, yeah, you know what, man, I'm going to talk to someone else. So now I start crowd working these two guys in the front. They're friends, they're cousins, and whatever. I make one of them had like, he's like from Palestine, but he had a mullet. And he was wearing a hat, and I just made fun of him. I was like, yo, dude, it doesn't even look like your hair's for real. It looks like your hair is connected to your hat. Like, if you took your hat off, you're just bald underneath that. Whatever, man. It's crowd work. Is it the most genius comedy you've ever seen? No. But it's passable, and it's staying alive for these 12, now 14 people in the room. So now I've moved on past that couple. I don't want to talk to them anymore because it's clear that they're legitimately in a fight. Oh, yeah. And this felt really good. The woman goes, oh, I go, hey, she said like, I was like, why did you guys come to a comedy show if you're like in a fight? She goes, because I thought it would cheer me up and we could use the laughs. And I was like, man, that's a lot of pressure to put on all of us comedians. That is a lot of pressure for us to cheer you up. Mid-divorce? Yo, come on. That's not an ideal time to perform comedy. And then she said, actually, you're the first thing to make me smile and laugh today. So thank you for that. And that meant a lot to me. She said that actually when I was on stage. Like, because I was making fun of her shitty-ass husband, soon-to-be ex. Like I said, I move on and talk to that other group. And then I was about to do my joke about Friends, which I will not tell you in this podcast because I want you to go watch some of my clips on my fucking YouTube channel, assholes. I don't need to be aggressive there. But yeah, if you want to see some stand-up, you can go look at the clips online. Granted, all those clips are somewhat dated. I need to probably swap them out for some new ones, which I will do soon. So I then am talking to these two guys, and the soon-to-be ex-husband all of a sudden just starts going, like that, you know what I mean? Like that corny-ass high school bully who isn't funny. And I just turn to him, I go, you all right, man? And he's like, oh, this is what you do? This is what you do? You just make fun of people in the audience? And I go, yeah, this is it. This is it for me. This is all I got. He goes, do you have any jokes? Let's see your act. Let's hear a joke. And I go, Jesus, dude, what's your problem, man? He's like, no, let's see a joke. You think you're real funny? Tell us a joke then. We'll see how funny you are. And I go, well, certainly not going to tell a joke now, because if I were to tell a joke now, it'll most definitely bomb. No one's ever crushed after someone goes, oh, tell me a joke. And then you tell them a joke. So you can just, what, let me know I'm not funny? No, thanks. Not going to do that. And he's like, you're a real fucking asshole. You think you're really cool? This is what you do? Tell your jokes? Oh, yeah, yeah. Just tell you, just make fun of us and then get your 50 bucks and leave. And I go, ho-ho, joke's on you. Because guess what? I'm not getting paid for this spot. I'm doing this shit pro bono. And then he's like, you know what? Fuck you, dude. If you want to, you can meet me outside. To which I respond, yeah, not going to do that. Not going to meet you outside. I will not fight. Under no circumstances will I fight you. I will not meet you outside. When everyone's like, meet me outside, you can just not meet them outside. Just don't fight them. This guy, I think I had on like a puffy sweatshirt. He's like 50. I've said it before. I've never been in a fight. I will never be in a fight. But this guy wanted to fight me. This is a fight I will win. I think he is grossly overestimating his cardio. I had on a big baggy sweatshirt. I don't know if he... I'm not the most jacked dude in the world, but I'm certainly not a weak person at all. Little light on the fight experience, but I am aggressive, so I think I can take this dude. It's like, why would you... What the fuck? He told me to fuck myself. I was like, no, I don't hate anyone. I don't want to do that at all. It's insane how people are. Then he got thrown out, and right at that moment, my set wrapped up. Hilarious, though. That guy came for my act, heckled me, paid, got tossed out of the venue. What an expensive move. And he's clearly in a spiral. Clearly in a spiral. They said they've been together for 20 years. What a bummer, huh? I guess not. I know Louis has that joke. Louis C.K. has that joke about, like, no one who's ever gotten a divorce. Don't feel bad for one of your friends who've ever gotten a divorce, because this is the happiest they've ever been. Don't make them feel bad for feeling so happy. But, yeah, there's something. I guess you got to, like, frame it. I'm trying to think, because I think about my relationships I've had, and you do feel a little bit like a failure when a relationship ends. Now, imagine you've been with someone for 20 years, how much of a failure you'd feel like. Fuck. You'd feel horrible about that. You'd be like, I wasted 20 years of my life. Here's what you have to do is you have to do a thing. You're like, well, we had some good times and I learned a lot over the course of our relationship. That's what you have to tell yourself, whether it's true or false. That's one thing. My girlfriend, she's a flight attendant. If she sits down with anyone on a plane, they'll always just talk to her about how bad their relationship is. Jesus. People just air that stuff out so fast, you know? I guess I air it out on this podcast, huh? I really just air that stuff out. Saw this really funny news story, though. There was two guys that were stationed in Antarctica for like 4 years together. And one of them stabbed the other one in the heart because the guy that got stabbed kept telling the other one the ending of books he was reading. You ever hear about an attempted murder and go, you know what? That attempt makes total sense and he's in the right. Because that's how I feel about that story. I hear that this guy was spoiling the ending of books for someone. And, you know, if you do the spoil thing like once or twice, all right, I get how that could be funny. But it's still a little shitty. If you're spoiling something for someone that they're investing in, it's shitty to do that with a movie. Now, if you ruin a book, you know how fucking hard it is to finish a book? Dude, you spoil one book, you deserve to get stabbed in the heart. Spoiling is awful to do to people. That's so bad. Now that guy's like going to be tried for attempted murder. I hope that judge throws the case out. And he's like, I get it, man. This guy's stuck in Antarctica. All he has is the duties with and the books on the shelves. And the duties with just keeps ruining books for him. No, fuck that. Stab that bitch in the heart. You have it coming. You deserve to get stabbed. If you're in Antarctica and you're in a fucking igloo together and you're ruining books for people, expect the stabbing. Do not be surprised when the person you're with tries to murder you. That judge should throw the case out. Acquittal. Acquit. If the book gets spoiled, tit, you must acquit. That's not very funny, but I get it, man. I get it. It was 4 years. 4 years of that. You got to imagine how it started out, that he was like, hey, could you please, you know, I'm reading the book. Could you not tell me how it ends? And then, like, you know, he does again. He's like, hey, you know, I said it nice before, but now I'm dead serious. I really, really don't like having the books I'm reading being spoiled by you, okay? So if you could, don't spoil the book for me. And then he goes, hey, if you spoil the next book for me, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And then finally, the guy just spoiled one more book. And he was like, fuck it. Gets a knife, stabs him in the heart. That's almost less about the books. And it's more about the fact that you're stationed in Antarctica alone with one other person who you probably hate. You must grow to resent them so much. Yo, I had a roommate. I think I may have talked about this a little bit. But my roommate was one of those really loud breathers, especially when I was eating. Yo, I recorded audio of him once breathing. We were both sitting at the table, and it was just like eating chicken nuggets, mouth open. It was so bad, I had to record it and send the audio to multiple friends and be like, hey, am I crazy or is this loud or do I just hate this guy? I don't hate him. I don't. But in that moment, I did. And if I was alone in Antarctica with the person who breathed that loud and ate that loud every day, I would have stabbed him. I would have stabbed him, no doubt. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. This has been an absolute treat. We bashed the Catholic Church. More. I never really realized how formative it was in my life going to Catholic school. I went, I went there for all of grade school and all of high school. And the second I was done with high school, I was like, I'm done with this shit. I'm not going back. You just get so resentful of such a waste of your energy and time. You have to take tests on it. You had to, like, memorize random Bible passages and different stuff. Oh, my God. Yo, everybody, thank you for listening. I really appreciate every single one of you. Means so much to me, especially people who have been reaching out with any comments they have about the podcast, anyone that enjoys it. It means a lot that you guys keep listening and keep telling people about it. It keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger. We're over like 1,000 listeners. I want to get this fucking thing to like 2,000, all right? So tell a friend about anxiety now. Be like, hey, have you ever wanted to listen to an unhealthy person talk for an hour? Here it is. We're all commuting. We got nothing going on. Why not, okay? Why not bring some joy into their lives? Everybody, thank you so much. I appreciate y'all. Have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with your family. And most of all, enjoy the time not doing your job. Have a good one. Bye.